This is an Enterprise Time security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Frank Braunstetter of NTT Security.
Hello, my name is Frank Braunstetter. I'm working at NTT Security as responsible for cloud security. Formerly was in the pharma industry, in charge of security, but also moving a lot of workloads to the cloud.
Companies are currently moving large amounts of their applications to the cloud. One of the challenges for them is that they've begun to understand how to secure them on-premises. But when they move to cloud, they don't necessarily have the same software, the same tools. They now have two different production environments. When you engage with companies, what are the challenges that you see?
At this point, we should split between the classical software as a service, so mainly Office 365, Google Apps, and on the other side, all the infrastructure. What I see mostly on the software side is the identity management challenge, where most of the company would go out and say, okay, we just have username, password. Whether in their internal data center, they would have a VPN with two-factor authentication. And suddenly they are in this area where they are not comfortable because they fight it against for years not to have any device access, anywhere access, where they come now to Office 365 is the best example, I think, where they suddenly open their world, their OneDrive, their file shares, actually, their emails to username, password. And I always keep saying, doing this, your first phishing attack will touch, because someone is going to put his password there and someone is going to lose his credentials. The first challenge is they're making understand to the companies that they should protect with two-factor authentication their accesses. There are plenty of solutions now for that, also in the cloud area. They are not just going out with a password. There is no secure software as a service deployment without two-factor authentication. So that applies to Mails, applies to Salesforce, applies to plenty of, well, success factors, whatever. And we found a lot of them, just username, password, that's it.
Putting multi-factor authentication in isn't necessarily simple. A lot of organizations struggle today, partly because of the way their software is written, partly because of the way their identity and access management is configured. When they move to cloud, and you talk to them about multi-factor, do they see this as an opportunity or do they see this as an inhibitor?
Usually we say, no, it's too complicated. We tried it internally and it failed. We couldn't have our executive management with tokens that didn't work. I usually base it on my own experience where we rolled out Google Apps in 2010 without two-factor authentication. The two-factor authentication project had been rejected 2 times because users don't like it. First phishing attack, like I said, someone in the executive management. And the two-factor authentication project was then authorized within 10 minutes after that. There's several means to put it in place today. Those two-factor authentication, they go with conditional access. They will go with risk-based access, not to bother the users each time they want to log on. Basically analyzing where they log on from, which machine, what time, and so on. Making sure it's the real user. And this makes it much easier. Most of the time, I come into a situation where I said, yeah, we tried it internally. It works for VPN users, which are more IT users. And for the others, we didn't do it. But now, effectively, with those risk-based solutions, it's much easier to put in place.
If we look at the growth of compliance legislation, one of the dangers of losing a set of credentials is a data breach. And a data breach now could be business threatening. The size of the potential fines are huge. Is that acting as an imperative on companies to get this right?
Especially when you touch through FileShare, well, OneDrive, but to name them, data, you can say to the user, okay, don't put personal related data there, but they will do it. And obviously, going back to our phishing example, then it's too late. The password is gone, access to the data is done, and the copy is quite quick. Those attacks are automated. As soon as the username is there, the OneDrive is copied, and that's it, which means potentially big data breaches. So that's where companies start to say, okay, so they get sensible to two-factor authentication, to those protection mechanisms, because yeah, otherwise, they are lost.
We have this problem also with cloud, don't we, in terms of a mix of personal applications versus business applications. We tried cloud brokerage, which was to intercept all traffic and say to users, we don't like that application, we think you should use this one. That seems to have failed in a lot of cases. Is there really a solution to this, or does IT just have to live with the fact that people are going to use whatever app they want, when they want, and IT has to find a better way to secure the data?
We are in a world of bring your own device. You like it or not, it happens. Everybody has his personal phones, somehow they can have their mails on there. Again, protecting about apps, saying, yeah, you should not use this personal note app, you should use this one because it's more secure. First of all, who does this evaluation? Who says that this app is more secure than this one? It's quasi impossible unless your reliance solutions would do that for you. The protection is back on protecting the identity, mm-hmm. protecting in some cases specific data where you want to encrypt. So using the same solution, those access brokers that would be there to encrypt and to decrypt, because if it's encrypted, you have to go through your proxy and through your broker to get access to the data. Maybe. Most of the time also, we come in a situation where it would be an overkill because, yeah, the data is not that critical. Unless now it's GDPR, of course, this has all changed. Cloud Access Broker, yes, has failed, I think, in the app protection because people would use whatever they want. The good example is my paper notebook. If I lose it, I lose it. And everything I've noted there, nobody will protect it. And my IT department will not protect it either.
Where do we go from here? Because you mentioned there the challenge is what do we encrypt? What don't we encrypt? A lot of companies are being told encrypt everything. And certainly in terms of GDPR, because people don't know and don't really understand what is personal information, that's a fallback, absolute safe option. But it comes with a cost. It comes with a processing cost. It comes with a delay of actually doing things for a lot of organizations.
To the complexity also.
Yes, you're right, the complexity. So how do companies begin to separate out their data? Or should they just consider the cost of encrypting everything and live with that?
There's several layers of encryption, which usually the big cloud provider, they do already two of them, which is the transport encryption and the at rest encryption, where you shouldn't normally as a customer care about encrypting at rest in those SaaS solutions. In infrastructure, it's a different story. But in SaaS, we have to trust that Google or Microsoft is encrypting the data underneath at rest. How they do it? Where's the key? There are options to externalize your key. Why not? But this comes then with significant complexity, costs, and redundancy issues. Because if the link is broken and you cannot access your decryption key, you cannot access your data. So that's a huge risk. When you say, I want to move now out of this, having my email accounts internally, having my data internally, because it's going to release my operations, going to be much easier in terms of reliability, and redundancy, access time, so on. Two first encryption layers, we have to trust the provider. In most of the cases, transport at rest would be done by the provider. Maybe you can change the keys to have your own keys. I'm not sure this brings a lot of additional security, but then comes the layer of security where you would encrypt target specific data with your own solution. There comes again the discussion with access brokers, which would allow that. When you usually start to talk to a customer and say, okay, do you have classification in place? The answer, 75% of the cases, let's say 80, is no. So you cannot even decide what you want to encrypt or not. Don't forget about the complexity. One of the big advantages also of all those solutions is being able to search. The search can quickly be broken also when you start to encrypt specific data. You lost search facilities. I'm saying usually, okay, if you have specific confidential production data, then use this additional layer of protection. But having a right identity and access management rightly protect your access first. Using the two encryption layers, REST, transport, should be in most of the cases enough if your barrier is there, if your perimeter, if the identity is protected correctly. Eventually, go ahead and encrypt specific data.
How do we manage data sovereignty? Challenge here, an end user uses their own application to store data. They don't know where that data is being stored. We know here in Germany, there are some very strict rules on what data can leave country and what data has to stay in country. It's easy to just put a memo out to users, but that doesn't really mean anything to them. Are we going to find ourselves in trouble in a couple of years' time with this mix of personal applications versus enterprise applications, where on the enterprise side, we've done everything we can to make sure the data stays in country, but on the personal applications, it's been leaking all over the world? Or is there a better way to make sure that we keep complete control of that data?
Today, I don't think there is a better way. We have this use of personal application totally uncontrolled. And I don't think there is a good way to come specifically that we have on the IT side, on the security side, we put barriers. We make the life of our user complex. And obviously, everything they would do is move on the easier side and take their notes somewhere else or put the agenda somewhere else because it's easier to synchronize with the wife's agenda. Cases like this will always happen unless we work on the innovation part. The CTO of AWS has recently said, innovate or die, and that's going to happen in this field as well. Either we bring to our user the solution and the convenience they expect, or we continue with our complicated world. and data will leak because they will put it somewhere else and they will lose them. And there's nothing we can do. You forget your paper notebook in the plane, it's exactly the same and the data has left the country. Today, there is no magic solution. Awareness has its limit as well, and we know it. So you can tell to people 100 times they shouldn't put their password everywhere, but they would put it anyway. I've been head of security for years as well, and I didn't find this solution. Today, there is no way to protect the information when leaving to personal applications. Unless we provide the users the right solution, easy to use, easy to connect, everywhere, every device, but it has to be convenient and not old-fashioned application that we try to push and to recycle for that.
When we talk about compliance, and we mentioned it earlier, compliance is becoming hugely complicated. Companies no longer have to deal with one set of compliance regulations, they deal with many. Many of these compliance regulations overlap, and where they overlap, they can actually have conflicting goals and conflicting requirements. IT doesn't have time to sit down and start to work out the difference between one compliance versus another. How can we automate compliance? How can we automate our ability to meet our requirements under the law, but at the same way, not do that in a way that is so complex that the users will find a way to avoid it?
When we start to touch compliance, we also go in the direction of infrastructure. We started at the beginning saying, okay, software and now infrastructure. And compliance is across everything. Compliance automation has been now out for a few months, years. I don't remember who was named before. Gartner has named it compliance automation. That goes exactly in that direction. You want to script, you want to automate your compliance controls like you would automate your configuration or your infrastructure in a cloud environment. So that's where all the parts come together, where the development team meets the operation, where the security team comes into play, the audit team comes into play. You would go in this compliance automation direction where you start to script your controls, saying, okay, based on this regulation, those are my controls which apply to my infrastructure, those are my controls which apply to my software as a service vendor. Being able to anticipate audits, that's the game behind. So having your internal compliance automation audit working, running every 30 minutes, producing reports, reacting immediately, that's the way it goes. Because the amount of compliance control is so large that you cannot do them manually. I always remember in my former position where the yearly audit came and you had to provide a screenshot of the Active Directory password policy. Usually you recycle the same screenshot every year because the configuration hadn't changed. But now we don't speak anymore about just the password policy in Active Directory. We speak about much more controls, ensure log management is enabled properly, ensure we get all the logs, there's no interruption there, ensure we notice that there is a gap in log collection, for instance. Those are important points, and this, unless you do it automatically, you can forget it. And there I'm a big fan of, I'm usually pushing a lot for general automation in cloud, making it from infrastructure to configuration, but also to compliance.
How can we, as service providers, simplify life for customers? How do we begin to create a coherent program that they can implement that guides them through this process of moving from on-premise to cloud, but also they're meeting all those security issues that we've talked about?
Going back to automation, playing on two of those aspects, one on configuration automation, making sure my instances which are going out to those cloud environment are hardened, are configured like they should always, and then pushing also the compliance automation part where we could go out and bring those profiles, say, okay, you need GDPR compliance, you need whatever compliance, HIPAA, FDA, those are the controls. Automate them, make sure we analyze and we are able to react and to adapt those images. Because when we discuss to customers, what they say is, yeah, but we don't have time to cope with that. Okay, we have a hardened Linux image, but in the time this evolves, we don't have time to follow the regulation, we don't have time to follow the configuration changes. Bringing services in this area where securing the base images, securing the base instances, securing the cloud provider himself, because you have plenty of benchmarks also on how the cloud provider should be configured in a secured environment. You have them for AWS, you have them for Azure, for others, being sure you automate those as well, and being sure you automate the compliance of those automatically.
One of the challenges for organizations is when they start to go to cloud, a lot of companies out there make incredible claims about how secure their cloud environment is. This has led a lot of companies, particularly in the small to medium sector, to think they can simply outsource security and ownership to the cloud provider. What do they need to think about?
There's two things. I usually say to customers, you will always be responsible for your data. Whatever deployment model you take, SaaS or infrastructure or PaaS, the data is your responsibility. The second is the identities. And the last one being logs. logs and security analytics. That's your responsibility as an end customer, whatever model you choose. For SaaS, we limit to those three. For infrastructure, we go, of course, much deeper. You are in charge of your operating system, of the configuration of it. Your provider is just in charge of the layer underneath, physical security, make sure nobody enters in the data centers, that the backups are recycled, and so on. But you are responsible to there. But usually I start saying data is under your responsibility. Where I often come to customers where they did not realize that. They said, okay, we give it to the cloud provider, or the opposite. I also came to customers saying, yeah, we cannot use this SaaS provider because underneath he has AWS and we want to go to Azure. I said, that's not the game. You choose a SaaS provider. You don't care about what's underneath. He's responsible for that. You have to trust, and this is quite difficult, to, specifically on the German market, to say you have to trust your provider somewhere. You sign a contract. The provider does it. Normally does it better than you. He has a huge security team behind, taking the big ones. They have huge security teams. We don't have them. Saying, okay, at one point in time, there's trust. But you're in charge of the data. However you protect your data is your game. Making sure that you identify what you put there, making sure you protect it right with a clean identity management.
If I was to be sitting in front of you as a potential customer who's looking to move to the cloud, I've got a bunch of on-premise in different places. What would be the top things that you would tell me that I need to address in making that move?
We get back to it. The first question I ask is, how is your identity management? That's the first barrier, always. Data classification in place, yes, no. Do you have hardening controls already in place? Yes, no. And there we start. The next move is understanding, because that's the biggest challenge in cloud and in this transformation work, is automation. The whole story with DevOps, adapting the processes, adapting the people, reusing what the developers do for years, putting this now into security, putting this into operations, which is quite a big challenge. I think I've gone through it not as a consultant, but on the enterprise side. And it's quite a huge challenge to make the whole team, people realize, okay, you need to adapt now. Going back to the innovate or die. Yes, that's going to last for a few years without automation, but then it's gone. I recently said, someone had told me, yeah, we IT, we don't care about cloud. We do our internal stuff. And the cloud, yeah, the business is anyway putting applications in the cloud, and we don't care about that. So I raised the question, yeah, what will your teams do in 5 years? And they're to say, ah, yes, maybe we should change.
Sounds like they're going to have a bit of a shock coming. Frank, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.